Okay, good morning, Shalom Aleichem, everybody. It's hard to go 2 days after Purim. Shabbos preparations begin today. It's Thursday, for those that are not aware. And we have a really amazing parsha before us. And it's really chaval to just have a few days to prepare for Parsha Kitisa. I remember one time sitting in shul with my father-in-law in the Yungzer Flatbush, and Rabbi A.B. Warhaftig, who used to run Kamor Shah, was a very good friend of my in-laws, Zatzal. In his later years, he couldn't come to shul every Shabbos, but when he came, remember one Shabbos, Parsha Kitisa, Rabbi Warhaftig was the one who introduced me to Rabbi Sachs. Before, everyone was like reading Rabbi Sachs's books and everything. He would bring his old Parsha sheets to shul, and he's like, "You have to read this." So it was Parsha Kitisa, which was one of the first ones that he showed me. And he said to me something that really sticks with me every single year, Parsha Kitisa. He said, really, the entire corpus of Jewish philosophy comes in our Parsha. You know, not just the Chet Egel, and what does that mean to believe in a God that you can't see? That within itself is extremely difficult. Right? You need proof for God, the existence of God. What do miracles do for somebody in their belief? It seems like not much. The Jewish people couldn't, so to speak, get their act together, right? Like, and then Moshe and Hashem talk about destroying the Jewish people, forgiveness. How do you forgive somebody and overlook? What does it mean to see God? Moshe could see God's back, not his face. There's so much there. That really stuck with me. That really, if you're going to talk about any major topic within Jewish philosophy, you need to get through, right? You need to pass through Parshas Kitisa at one point in that topic to really grapple with it and address those issues. So we're going to talk today, five ideas on Parshas Kitisa, really mostly focusing on either the Chet Egel and post Chet Egel. The Parsha begins notably, Rishon and Cheney are very, very long. Now we have two Leviim here. Three Leviim. Nathan's here. Yes, you're not a Levi? Did I make a mistake? You're not a Levi. Two Leviim here. You're like a Levi. You're Mishari Sasha. Okay. So the Rishon and Cheney are very long. Why is that? Super long. Because the only people that didn't sin, there are two groups of people that didn't sin in Chet Egel. Who didn't sin in Chet Egel? What? The woman of Sheva Levi. So the Kohanim Leviim didn't sin. So it would be a little bit of embarrassing for Yisrael to get up there. And you're talking about a sin that they were directly involved with. So in order to avoid that embarrassment, Chazal set it up that Kohen and Levi have the Chet Egel in there. And the rest is the reconciliation afterwards. So that's why you'll be noticing that those two are loaded, right? Very, very packed in, and everything goes after that. So just on that idea, the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar says the following. Shemu ha-nashim v'lo ratzu v'lo kiblu aleihem litein es nizmeihem l'ba aleihem. Right? Aaron HaKohen, years past, we discussed the role of Aaron. It sounds like Aaron is really responsible for a lot of this. They start we discuss why he's not responsible and why sometimes taking one for the team or stalling tactics are good ways to go. So Aaron goes ahead and starts a fundraiser. And people are giving nonstop. It's like walking around the Pushkin on Purim. Everyone's giving. Everyone's good. Everyone has dollar bills in their pockets or even more. And it's great. And the women say, no. Sh'amru lahem. Laso shikutz toeva she'im bo koach lahatzil. This is the language of the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. We're going to make what? An idol? What can the idol do for us? This is not what God wants us to do. Lo nishma lachem. It's not going to listen to us. It's not going to do anything. V'nas lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu scharim bo'olam hazeh. She'im mishmaros. Rosh Chodesh Yosir Menanashem. The reward for this is that the women will receive Rosh Chodesh, and they will get to, okay, good, thank you. They will receive Rosh Chodesh as a reward. I'm not sure what the second part means. They get Rosh Chodesh as a holiday. Great, good. In the future, they will rejuvenate like Rosh Chodesh. Okay, we need to, I'm not sure what to figure that out. The tour, Paskins this way. He quotes his brother. The tour quotes, Yaakov and Asher quotes Rabbi Yehuda and says that the Moadim correspond to the Avos. Pesach is Avraham. Shavuos is Yitzchak. Sukkot is Yaakov. And then the 12 months originally were supposed to be corresponding to each one of the Shvatim. And it was taken away from them and was given to the women. It was given to the women. Now, the Ben Ish Chai quotes a remez to this. In Koheles, we say, Isha, Isha bechol eila lo matzasi. Isha bechol eila, in all of these things I have not found. Bechol eila. What did the Jewish people say to the Chet Egel? They pointed to it and said, Ela Elokecha Elohecha Yisrael. This. Isha Bechol Ela, a woman, Bechol Ela, who announced, Ela Lo Matzati. I didn't find. They weren't there. They left. They told their husbands, get back home. They told their boys, don't go. Don't go. So what was it about this that they didn't do? And why was the reward? Like, how does this reward of Rosh Chodesh connect to them? No? Yeah, honey, what do you say? Go ahead.
They're not very thinking with their bodies. That's what I'm trying to be generally. And it's even such a thing that they have to figure out this time. So they didn't participate in any of this. And they didn't like a picture. They knew what to do. They just knew what to do.
There was a certain Amuna Tamima about them. In what they saw, what they experienced.
They were cardiac. What? They were cardiac people, not cerebral. They men think.
Describe them more. Cardiac, yeah.
Cardiac is what people think with their heart.
They think with their heart, and their heart said, this is no good. Yeah. So now, how does that connect to Rosh Chodesh? No, how is that Rosh Chodesh? Okay, so about, I think about 10 years now, we had Rabbi Yehoshua Landau came for Shabbos. He's a Rebbe in Tiferet and in Reshit in Israel, and he came for Shabbos, and it was around, it was in the summer, I think. He came around Yud Zayin Tammuz. We'll get to Yud Zayin Tammuz in a minute. Shvat Sabbat Tammuz. So he mentioned an amazing idea from this author, Slobodka. He said that the Gemara tells us, how do you establish Rosh Chodesh? So there are two ways. Either two Adim could see the new moon. So what if they don't see the new moon? What do you do? You do a cheshbon. You have to figure it out. What do you mean, figure it out? Based on the last month. And today, how do we do it? Cheshbon. It said, Ezra Torah Luach, they can print those luachs, you know, in advance for the next 30 years. You know, when I was a kid, I remember the back of the Birnbaum Machzor. What did it have? The dates for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I remember all the men were looking at it because they're like, oh man, in 6 years from now, it's going to be a terrible week for business, you know? So why? Because right now, pre or post-destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, living in a pre-Beis HaMikdash world, we only go based on cheshbon. Cheshbon means an accounting. So the men, what did the men do? Cheshbon, 40 days, we're counting. They messed up, but they did a cheshbon. Moshe's not here. We got to do plan B. The woman said, Cheshbon Shmeshbon. Who cares? Moshe promised he's going to be here. He's going to be here. You think he's late? He's late. Okay, who cares? Because Baruch Hu doesn't want us to make an ego. So as a result of us, of women saying, don't, like, it's, honey, it's what you're saying, right? It's not a cheshbon. We're not calculating second to second. No, Hashem said, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. So what mitzvah do they get? They got a mitzvah that's done ayde cheshbon to remind them, right, all of us, that sometimes we don't make cheshbonos. We just do, right? We just do for the sake of Hashem. Yes. Rosh Chodesh.
So they were in such limited. That's what they got. They believed in Hashem unconditionally. Therefore, they got it.
Amazing. Right. Great. Great. That's thought number one. Thought number two is an amazing diuk from Rav Shlomo Kluger. Shlomo Kluger writes the following. I saw this in a sefer called Otzer Shel Torah. Corey Kleinman just dropped it off at my house the other day. Let's give him a shout out. So the Torah says the following: Vayar ha'am ki voshesh Moshe laredes minahar. The nation saw that boshesh, that Moshe was tarried in laredes minahar, from the mountain. He says those two words are extraneous. We know that Moshe is on the mountain. If you're learning the Torah each and every week, you know where Moshe is. He's on the mountain. So, Bayar ha'am ki voshesh Moshe laredes. Where laredes hahar, min hahar, from the mountain, vaykehel ha'am al aron, the whole nation, you know, gathered around the aron, and said, vayomer elav, kum ase lanu Elohim, we don't know where he's going to be because, so they went around. So what does it mean, minahar? So he quotes Shlomo Kluger from the Imre Shefer, who says the following, unbelievable, I never thought of this before. So when was the final moment of Kabbalah Sator? When did Hashem know for sure that the Jewish people would truly accept the Torah? So now it's been done. The word Nishma came out of their mouth, right? Done. So he wants to argue that it's only after these 40 days. Moshe went up to the mountain after they received the Torah on Vav Rezayin Sivan, right? He's planned to come down to Yuzan Tamas. And once he came down to Luchos, that is the final moment of this chapter that we call Kabbalah Sator. So this all began with Hashem taking a mountain and holding it over their heads. Kafalem harkigigis. He held it over their heads like a barrel. A barrel means like you put a barrel on top of a kid, right? The kid's in the barrel, right? So he put us all inside the mountain, as if like it was like carved out inside. So he says the following wild idea. He says that for these 40 days, the mountain, to remind the Jewish people that Kabbalah Sator still was not completed, was hovering. It was hovering for all 40 days, right? It was like hovering for 40 days. And what happened in Yud Zayin Tammuz? It went down. So 40 days were up. But who didn't show up yet? Moshe didn't show up yet. Maybe the Jewish people in the course of those 40 days would say, you know what? It's a bad idea. It's a mistake. Like sometimes you go to the store and they say you have like 60 days to return. I just went to, I'm having like feet problems. So I went to a shoe store to get like fitted for shoes. It said 90 days. Usually shoes, you buy them, sneakers, you buy them right away. You can't return them once you take them out of the box. So this thing had a 90-day return policy, which was great because tried them on. Within 2 days, my feet were hurting even more than they were beforehand. Okay? They're killing me. And so I returned them. It felt so good. Actually remembered to return them. 90, right? So 90-day return policy. So the Jewish people had a 40-day return policy. 40 yeah. days.
Hi, Fran.
Hey,
how are you doing?
Zach?
Good.
K. So now the mountain went down and Moshe still wasn't there yet. Right? Moshe still wasn't there yet. So
but
they didn't, right? They didn't know that Moshe was going to come down very, very soon. Meaning the har had a big role in this. The mountain already went down to its location. Moshe didn't yet appear. So they immediately, went crazy. They immediately, right? Sometimes what's the lesson here? Patience. Gotta be patient. Can't jump, right? They immediately jump to conclusions that Moshe is gone. We need a new leader. And we can't go on without one. And but that is the emphasis in the pasuk of La Redes Min Ahar, right? The mountain went down. At Moshe was going to come, and they couldn't wait for that to happen.
So in the shot that we always learn about the shot, like, so to say, it's not correct.
Different shot.
It's another approach.
So anyway, he was tarrying because they saw the map. This gives them a little bit more justification in terms of them being nervous. Just because you're nervous about something doesn't mean you need to change things, right? Someone's calling their loved one, but their phone died. They don't know this, and they think they can't answer them. So what? You're all of a sudden now you're going to call the lawyer and call the funeral home, and okay, relax a little bit. Relax. We need to relax. We can't jump to conclusions. Yeah.
I don't know how many times we have not miscalculations. So it seems that this week we had two very big ones. Number one, Akashrev was miscalculated when the base of Egypt was supposed to be rebuilt.
Right, so truth is, when the base of Egypt was supposed to be rebuilt 70 years, that was a popular miscalculation. Everybody, Daniel miscalculated it. There's a lot of people that are miscalculating that day.
Okay. I don't know how many miscalculations there are in Tanakh. In this week in Pearl, you have those two miscalculations.
Because everything's upside down.
Okay.
There you go. Kitisa generally falls right after. Kitsav is usually Zachor, and Kitisa is right afterwards.
Kitisa is always easy, right?
Yeah. Okay, I have to think about that. Miscalculations in the Torah. There are other miscalculations in the Torah, and what did those lead to? Okay, that's a good,
you're answering that, or that's the question?
I'm asking the question. Okay, if anybody's listening online, email me, reach out to me. Okay, thought number three first we had the women, why didn't they sin? Second was Minahar, comes from Machlokas Rashi and the Ramban. Okay, so this was raised by the Brisker Rav, and I thought it was fascinating. So the pasuk says the following: "Vayomer lahem." So Moshe now breaks the luchos. That's done. We're going to get back to it in a minute, but he breaks the luchos, and now he wants to adjudicate the people. Right? Vayomer lahem kol marsha elokei Yisrael. Simul ishkar bal yerecho ivru v'shuvu mishar l'shar v'machane. The hirgu ish is achiv. The ish is re'ehu, the ish is krovav. Right? Be'asu b'nei Levi kidvar Moshe. The people, the perpetrators of chayte ego, which we learn are going to be 3,000 people, need to be punished. They need to be punished. So when were they punished? Whenever think about this. When were they punished? Moshe breaks the luchos on Yud Zayin Tammuz. That's when Chet Egel happens. Right? Five things happen on Yud Zayin Tammuz in history. This is number one. Right? This is number one. Now, when did this happen? So this is the machlokas in Rashi and the Ramban. Rashi writes, it's not on this puzzle, but it's later on, that Yud Zayin B'Tammuz Nishtaber Luchos, The next day, he adjudicated. Next day, he determined who was involved and what punishment they should receive. The Ramban disagrees. And the Ramban says, "Ki bayom riditzo." What do you think?
I'm saying that they were punished right away.
Right away. "Ki bayom riditzo min biyud zayin tamuz, sara fe'egel, v'dan ovav." He burned the egel and he judged them. And then he went up on Yud Ches to ask Hashem for forgiveness for the Jewish people. Okay, so that's amazing. And the Ramban quotes Rashi and says, Rashi's wrong. Right, it's not clear in the text over here as to what is going on. So what's the basis for this machlokas? Rashi says they waited a day to adjudicate. And the Ramban says, you did it right away. No, so what do you think? Sounds like a very important, piece of information in regards to the Chet to Egel story.
I'm saying it's so great that you should do it right away and get it done.
Therefore, you should do it right away. So
this goes to such a level that...
So the Ramban says this is something called the Harasha. That generally there's a halacha called Halanas Din. When it comes to capital punishments, you must give the court one day. And you gotta sleep it. Have one night to sleep it out. Is that the language? No. No, let it. Sleep on it for one night. Maybe they're going to think of something to get them out of the crime that they committed. So you need to give that, right? This is part of the mercy, the rachmanas of a Jewish court system. Don't do it. Don't make a rash decision, right? So in the system, you have to wait a day. The Ramban says here, the crime was so bad. Harasha, right? Mendy, this is what you're saying. This is the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav, right, was Rabbi Salvechik from what is, that's his uncle. So Brisker Rav says, no, this doesn't require anything, right? I don't need witnesses. I don't need that. We're going to do this, not by the books. Because how terrible this crime was. And Rashi says, no. We're going to treat these people as much as we can like an Anshe Ir HaNidachas. Ir HaNidachas is the wayward city, where the entire city, or sorry, the majority of the city, is worshiping idols. And he says that Rashi is saying that this falls in line with the regular halacha of Halanas Din. Even though we identified who was a wrongdoer, a sinner, on Yud Zayin Tamuz, they still get another day. They still get Halanas Din. That is the halacha. And that's why Yud Ches they go. So that's the Ramban Rashi with the understanding of the Brisker Rav.
There's no such thing as death row. Somebody is sentenced to death, it's carried out by the person.
A day later. Halanas Din. So if you look at the Mishnayos in Masechet Sanhedrin, beginning with the sixth parak and on, they describe a lot of these details. Sorry, this might be the fourth parak. They describe a lot of these details about how they're killed. This is, by the way, if you want to learn with like a seventh grade boy, any Mishnayos, this is like a good place to go. Because this is like all about this is good for your grandkids. This is good. Because it's very gory and it's a lot of, violence. They're going to watch it on TV already. They might as well be learning it in the Mishnayos. So it's good. It's good stuff. So they describe it. And the halacha is, even though they would determine the punishment this day, they generally wait Halanas Din to the next day because Shemi Zakabedin. Maybe they'll find something. Maybe they're looking, maybe they're not looking, but they find something. So I thought that this is fascinating. You talk about today about, how much Rachmanos should people have? How do we treat somebody that, literally did something that was like one of the worst things ever in history. And Rashi's telling us we treat them like everybody else. Ron's not wrong. I'm just focusing on Rashi for a minute. I saw this machlokas. And fascinating that we are going to treat them like everybody else. We're not going to, right, take them, they did a crime. We're going to punish them for the poor choice that they made, the very wrong choice that they made. But they're not going to be treated any differently than anyone else in Jewish history when it comes to a capital punishment. A thought about how things work. Yeah.
I've been discussing Shabbos about how.
What'd you say?
I read on Shabbos, like in the Jewish press.
Yeah.
How Hashem dwells out punishment. It's the only punishment in the history of the world that happened immediately. It's on the Makkah. They sinned.
Right away, they're punished. Yeah.
Hashem's is not to do things like that.
Right.
Sometimes you see people like this thing, some of the worst life because they're such evil people.
Yeah.
And they're riding high, but they said eventually they will get what they deserve. So they can be a long, long time, according to Hashem's Cheshbonus.
Yeah, in due time.
Someone gets punished.
Yeah.
So maybe we are a little bit trying to animate a little bit how Hashem is.
Yeah.
Not to react.
Immediately.
Immediately.
Right. Very good. Very good. So we're going to go back a second, and there's a very strange conversation. There's a lot. For me, the hardest part of Kitisa is the order of everything. It seems like the you have to go very slowly to like really think about the order of how everything took place. Now, Moshe is going to go down, ready to go down the mountain. And the Torah gives pause to us to tell us how beautiful and majestic and miraculous the Luchos are. Right? We quoted Rabbi Friend or Shemin Atov 3 years ago. That was the first Torah to go. Where he writes that why now? This is in Parsha Mishpatim, should be in Parsha Yisrael, and how beautiful the Luchos were. Because you only realize how beautiful something is, you don't have any. So right before they're gonna be destroyed, that's when the Torah is showing us how amazing they are. Vayishma Yoshua. So Moshe was on top of the mountain, and Yoshua was a little bit below. He's waiting for his rabbi. Vayishma Yoshua's kol ha'am bireo. Vayomer el Moshe kol milchama b'machaneh. Yoshua hears evil sounds. And he says to Moshe, I think there's a battle. There's a mochama going on over here. Vayomer, Moshe responds, Ein kol anos gevura. This is not a call of gevura, of bravery, of a war. Vein kol anos halusha. It's not a weak cry. Kol anos anochi shomea. Rather, it's a kol anos. What? What just happened? And then Moshe goes down to the closer to the machaneh. He sees the egel. He sees the dancing. Moshe gets angry and he breaks the luchos. What's the conversation here? Yoshua says, I think there's a war going on. Moshe says, it's not this, it's not this. It's not anos gavura, it's not anos halusha, it's anos. Same word. It's an anos. And then he goes down, looks in, and he says, oh my gosh. The Gemara in Tainus, Yerushalmi Tainus, says over here that Moshe was very angry with Yoshua. And he says to him, one day you're going to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, and you don't know what they're screaming? Oh boy. So what was going on? So says Rav Schwab's phone. Schwab says that sometimes you hear someone kvetching. You hear somebody complaining. You know, or two people could be complaining about the same exact thing. But they're not really complaining about the same exact thing. You have to listen to their voice. You have to hear the context of how they're doing it. So Yehoshua just hears screaming. Right? He's not trained to the ear to listen to Klal Yisrael. Kol Melchom must be a war. Moshe says, no. What sounds to you like a war, the Jewish people are in pain. Kol Anos Ina, right? Vaya'anunu, the Jewish people suffered in Egypt. They're suffering. I hear that they're crying out of pain. Something is very, very wrong over here, right? They fear that they've lost their leader. They're crying not because they're going to go to battle, because they want to be worshiping an idol. They're crying right now because they feel like they have no other choice. So Moshe himself says to Yehoshua, you need to learn. If you want to be a good leader, you have to learn how to discern the different voices of all of your children. They might sound the same, and the words might be the same, but they're not always the same. And a good leader can tell the difference, can listen beyond the words. Right? And this was a lesson for Yehoshua, that if you want to be, just in 38 years from now, you're going to take over. Talk about patience. Yeshua took over in 38 years, right? In 38 years. If you want to be a good leader, you have to be able to discern the different types of cries, right? A mother knows if the baby is crying for milk or the baby is crying because it hurts. The father has no clue, right? They're just crying. Figure it out, right? But the mother, Moshe, compares himself to taking care of, like a nursing mother. That's what he compares himself to. Right? A mother knows the difference. And she could say, no, they're in pain right now. Right? Sometimes Sarah's like, this child is sick. I'm like, they're fine. They're at the doctor, 102, strep. She knows. I have to be better. Right? Yeah.
Rabbi, you know who would call Rabbi the Bob? Yeah. Even with the spies, you know, Torah delineates all the spies are, you know, the good guys, the spies were, and the other ones were not. Over here, who would be the so called second? What, how many people here? A million people?
How many people were where?
Over here, by the
600,000 men, but that's about 2-3 million people. Yeah.
Of that, was 3,000 people, which is not, it's a big number, but percentage wise, it's not a big number.
Yeah.
Who are the responsible parties for this so called rabbis?
So many people say it's the Erev Rav.
Yeah. So that's what I said. So, but if that's the case, we never see Moshe taking responsibility. He was not told to take this. He didn't kind of make that decision by himself.
I've said this before. Maybe eventually we have to talk about that. We have to talk about the Erev Rav separately. The Erev Rav is owed their own discussion in terms of understanding who they're from.
Responsibility, this whole thing.
Yeah.
If I had not done this, maybe this might never have happened. I don't know.
It had to happen. David says it had to happen. Okay. Okay.
He did it by himself.
Okay, so we began with this, why do the women receive Rosh Chodesh as a reward? Number two, Laredes Minahar, fascinating approach of Shlomo Kluger. Next, we had the Machlokas, the Brisker Rav, and Rashi, and Rashi Ramban about when was the adjudication, the punishment meted out. Fourth, Kol Anos, Anochi Shomea. What does that mean? You have to hear the voice of those people around you. We will conclude with amazing Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma wants to appreciate. Actually, you know what? Save the Meshech Chachma. We're going to do. Let's save the Meshech Chachma. But if you go to the end of the parsha, right? Moshe has this unbelievable moments, really, with God. And it's really unbelievable. in terms of his pushing back, so to speak. Lahav, God. Want to destroy, don't destroy. And really, you give him midas rachman. We learned so much here. And after this, Vayichal Moshe midaber itam. So we learn that Moshe has a masveh. What's a masveh? He has some type of mask, right? I'm talking about Purim and Kitisa. So the truth is, the egel is called an egel masecha. A masecha is the Hebrew modern day word for mask. The egel is called a mask. Why? He was covering up really what the Jewish people really wanted to do. They didn't want an egel necessarily. They just wanted a leader. But it came out as an egel. So Moshe is wearing a masveh. So when did he wear the masveh? There were two parts to Moshe's life. He was spent a lot of his day teaching Torah. And then he spent a lot of the day like talking to God, learning Torah. Right? So when did he wear the masveh? So many understand that either he wore it all the time, or he wore it when he was talking to Hashem. Sorry, when he's talking to the people, because the people couldn't handle him. Right? That's what we usually learn. The people couldn't handle Moshe. He was too holy. His face radiated. Right? Ask Michelangelo about that. And therefore he wore it then. Or Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, writes the following. If you read the pasuk, that's not the way it's described. Vayichal Moshe midaber itam. Moshe finished learning with the Jewish people. Vayitein al panav masveh. And then he put the masveh on his face. When did he put the masveh on his face? When he finished learning with the Jewish people. Meaning while he was giving shir, teaching Torah, he was fully exposed. The opposite of what we generally have learned. Yes.
So maybe he speaks that while he's teaching Torah, the light enhanced learning, but as soon as there's no Torah and it's dealing with the same people, he had to put on the mask.
So Ramosha says the same idea, and it's two different ideas, but really the same idea. He says it is so important for rebbeim, for teachers, to see their children's faces, right? To be yotzei with the recording, or even on a Zoom, it's not the same. It's not the same. Who remesh arav tzarich bonein al komare hatamidim. When you see your talmidim up front, you could really see their needs, what they want, what's going on with them, and really help them. Veleida mashatem b'chomaseyam leinu yochol lahastir panavim. Additionally, he says that it helps the Talmidim when they see their Rebbe and who he is, or they see their teachers and who they are, and they're really able to connect with them. So, it was a big thing, and a lot of yeshivas maybe risked their licenses or whatever for removing masks for that reason. All right, leave off legalities for now. I think it's a few years later, we could talk about it from this perspective, you know, and this is where they're coming from. I need to see my students. My students need to see me. I can't, there's something lost when that's there, when that's not there. Again, everyone's to protect themselves and be safe. That's not what we're talking about. But to appreciate when it comes to Talmud Torah, the purest type of Talmud Torah is face to face. Person to connect, whether it's with a chavrusa or with a rebbe, it is so important. Okay, so for today, we have David. Yes, David. Yeah.
Are we still being punished for the eagle zahav?
The Gemara says that yeah, we're still being punished for the eagle zahav. Yes.
Is that fair? Why should I be punished for something I have no part in? I would have done it differently.
You're not being punished. Don't worry, Nathan. You're Levy.
Oh, great. Okay. Thank you.
Don't worry about it.
But my good friends are being punished. My relatives.
So you should daven for them. It's a good question. We'll have to get back to it. Okay. Wish everybody a great Shabbos.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Thanks for mentioning Rabbi Shlomo Kluge.